Let the record show that the House Transportation meeting started at 5 after 2. And also, let it show that the following members, Representative Feige, Representative Pruitt, Representative Peterson, and myself, Representative Wilson, are present. And I'm sure others will be coming shortly, but we'll announce them as they arrive. And before we get started, I'd like to recognize staff today. Nancy Hemingway, House Recording Secretary, against the back wall. And in our corner over here is Thatcher from LIO, who is our LIO monitor. And Becky Rooney is my chief of staff, or my committee aide. And before we start, make sure everyone turns off their cell phones. And thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Today we'll be talking with Commissioner Designé Mark Lucan. And we all have in your packet, you have the commissioner or the commissioner designee's resume. And so, Commissioner, you're already in the hot seat. So if you will kind of just, and Representative, for the record, Representative Gruenberg has just joined us. And Mark, if you would give us kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and why you accepted this job, I guess. Okay.
Well, for the record, Mark Lucan, Commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And Madam Chairman, thank you for this opportunity to speak to you today about the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and provide you a bit more of information about me. And before I get too far down the road, however, I would like to acknowledge Representative Gruenberg and welcome you back. I'm glad to see you're back at work.
Thank you. That's awfully kind.
Yeah. And I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you. I am, yeah.
Can you tell a difference?
Better than being in hospital or worse.
I mean, can you tell your energy level or anything like that?
Yeah, I have a few amendments about that. I was telling Kayla, my wife, that I've never been as touched. I've just had so many people say such nice things. Even people who would normally scowl it. It's been just really nice. And that's what it means to be an Alaskan and member of the family here. I appreciate it. I hope you don't have to go through that to experience that, but thank you.
Well, let me first say that I believe I've been preparing for this job for the last 30 or more years, beginning with my time at the Air Force Academy through my 29-year career as an Air Force officer. I spent my professional life as a public servant, offering my life in the defense of our great nation. I've also benefited from some of the best leadership and technical training available anywhere. I spent the first 18 years of my career as a pilot, primarily flying fighter aircraft in Europe and Southwest Asia. The last 12 years of my career have also included opportunities to lead large organizations and implement practice leadership lessons I've learned throughout my career. I was given the opportunity to lead support organizations that complemented the flying operations I was used to. At two of these assignments, I functioned very similar to a city mayor, in charge of civil engineering that involved both horizontal and vertical construction projects, communications that involving base information and technology, telephone and radio infrastructure, personnel, contracting and procurement, police and fire, supply and logistics services, and base service organizations. As a result, I oversaw large military construction and infrastructure projects at these bases and oversaw the contracting of these projects and the procurement of commodities needed to run the base, very similar to an organization like the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. I moved my family to Alaska in the fall of 2008 from Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii to take over the job of the 11th Air Force Vice Commander. In this position, I oversaw the day-to-day operations of two fighter wings, 15 long-range radar sites, and two forward operating locations. I was also tasked with helping the 11th Air Force Commander get several military construction projects that had stalled or were struggling back on track. Moving to Alaska from back-to-back assignments in near tropical climates, Florida and then Hawaii, was a bit of a shock for our family. But we quickly came to love the beauty, grandeur, and the majesty of this incredible state. We were also simply amazed at how well Alaskans treat military. It was far beyond anything we'd experienced anywhere in the world. Finally, we recognized the awesome opportunities available here in Alaska and quickly decided this is where we wanted to stay. 2 months after our arrival, my wife Suzanne told me we needed to start looking for land. We were fortunate to purchase a beautiful home in South Anchorage just about a year ago. I began my tenure as the commissioner by making some changes to our organizational leadership team. I did this for a couple of reasons. First, I saw the need for leaders to fill these top positions in the organization. I feel I have a great team who will help me move this organization forward in Pat Kemp, our deputy for roads. Pat brings 30 years of experience with the department. Steve Hatter, our deputy for aviation. Steve is an incredibly talented leader with a very similar aviation background to mine. He's already doing outstanding work for the department in the aviation arena. Mike Neusel rounds out the top spots in our leadership team, and as the new deputy for Marine Highway System, Mike also brings 30 years of Marine and leadership experience to the mix as a former Coast Guard captain, with 12 of those years stationed right here in Alaska. Finally, we have three very strong and experienced regional directors in Steve Titus in the Northern Region, Rob Campbell in the Central Region, and Gary Davis in the Southeast Region. A very strong military or Marine Highway System General Manager in Captain John Falvey. Secondly, I felt the injection of some new blood would also benefit the department. I think this team has the right mix of leadership, state experience, and fresh perspective to provide a strong and positive outlook on the future of our department. Many of you have already heard where I would like to take this department, and I believe my first priority is to the organization. I believe we need not only to provide for a safe movement of people and goods, but to provide safe and efficient movement of people and goods in the delivery of state services. We as an organization must become more efficient to provide the best use of the resources the state and the nation provide us to deliver the safest transportation system possible. We must also become efficient with our most important resource, our people. We stand to lose up to 30% of our workforce in the next 5 years, due primarily to the age of our workforce. Many are reaching retirement age in the next 5 years. Therefore, I desire to create an organization that people want to be part of, one that encourages growth and recognizes and rewards collaboration and innovation. I'll also strive to build an organization that is accountable to you, to our people, and one that promotes integrity, transparency, and outstanding service. One of the greatest encouragements I've had since joining the department as I've learned more about this department is the quality of the people who make up the Department of Transportation. We already have an incredibly dedicated and professional workforce, and I'm privileged to serve them in this capacity. My goal is to give them the resources, the training, and the focus to be even better. One area I've already begun to work is to increase our outreach to the public, the legislature, and to our communities. My first day with the department was spent in Bethel. There I learned of the need for 24-hour service at the Bethel Airport, the third busiest airport in the state. I made that one of my top priorities for the FY12 budget, and I believe the governor supported my desire to expand our service at this airport to 24 hours through a budget amendment. I spent my second week in this job in Ketchikan. There I learned a great deal about the Marine Highway System, the Alaska Ship and Dry Dock, and was able to discuss the struggles the borough had operating their airport. Since that visit, we've been able to work on the airport issues and are moving forward toward a more positive relationship between our department and the borough of Ketchikan. I recently visited Nome and was given a great tour of the facilities there, including the state office building, and I have a better understanding of the issues there. I plan to continue this personal outreach to our communities and to hear and see firsthand the issues, their issues, as they relate to our department. I'm also encouraging our regional directors to follow this example, and you will see this department engaging you and the public more often. As an example, both Pat Kemp and Rob Campbell recently joined Representative Newman and Senator Huggins in a town hall meeting in the Matsu Borough to discuss the Kinnick Goose Bay road safety concerns. I'm also planning to take my entire leadership team to Skagway after the session. There are also several opportunities around the state this summer where I plan to visit specific communities in eastern Alaska, on the Kenai Peninsula, and on Bristol Bay, to name a few. We've also begun to provide more information on our website about projects we're currently working on. As I've mentioned before, we're still at about this 80% point in this project reporting tool, but my desire was to get the information out. We'll continue to refine this product to make it more user-friendly and interactive, and we welcome your suggestions. Many have already asked me, what are your priorities? I mentioned my desire to begin an organizational transformation for our department. I'm also following my boss's lead as he sets some great broad policy objectives that are easy for us to follow. Safe families. I've already stated our mission is to provide the safest transportation system possible. I see this as our department's role in this objective. Jobs and economic opportunity. We put out about $500 million in projects last year and hope to do the same again this year. $500 million in projects equals many jobs and opportunities for Alaskans, in my estimation. Roads to resources. The department is already working diligently with the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Environmental Conservation, the Department of Community and Economic Development, Law, and others to bring these roads from concept to reality. We're working with the Environmental Impact Statement for the road to Umiat, and we're in the public scoping process for both the Ambler Mining District and the Western Access Project. We've also had discussions with the Department of Natural Resources on rare earth element development opportunities right here in Southeast Alaska. Finally, let me comment on the question of the brevity of my time here in Alaska. Let me first reiterate, I've served Alaska for the last 29 years. The exciting part for me is that I now have the opportunity to serve this great state full-time with all my strength and ability. Our governor has said Alaska is still a land of great opportunity and strategic importance. I'm excited to be part of a team that will open up many of these opportunities for Alaskans for the next 50 years. Thank you. I'm open for questions.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, you have great qualification. I look forward to voting for your nomination. I have a couple of your confirmation, a couple of things. One, the 30% who are due to retire in the next 5 years, that's the first I've heard of that. I mean, first I've heard that specific figure from my department head, and it's very important to me. One of the problems we've experienced is with the pension situation, and it's hard to keep and attract good people because of the defined contributions we've gone to. You have any thoughts on how you can deal with that particular issue to meet your goal of keeping the best?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg. I think the thing that I recognize is that there are many other intangibles that people stay with an organization for, and I think we can offer that to the folks already in the department, plus potential future recruits, in that we have very challenging work. You know, I spoke when I was in Nome. I spoke with a 2008 graduate of Texas A&M, and. And he is, my son happened to be there at the same time, so we kind of had a relationship immediately. But the thing he told me is nowhere else but Alaska can you do some of the engineering things that our folks are able to do. And so those are the type of things that I want to be able to promote to not only attract but also keep our great folks.
I'm glad to see you through the chair. See you thinking outside the box. And Texas A&M, my doctor, was the star quarterback for Texas A&M. And I have one more question, if I may.
If you want to comment, Texas A&M never had a star quarterback.
And this gentleman was the star kicker for Oklahoma State.
I wouldn't go that far either.
When I was in high school, I was the yell leader. That's as far as I got. One other question. One thing that's of great concern to me, and from the large to the very small, but important to House District 20, there's an intersection at Caribou and Boundary and Boniface that's had fatalities and stuff, and we've had a devil of a time trying to get a stoplight in there because it doesn't meet the normal requirements. I'd like to talk with you. The people are literally up in arms about that, and we need your help, and I'd like to have some time with you and possibly your assistance sooner rather than later. We need your help. It's very serious. Thank you.
Through the chair, Representative, I'll be absolutely happy to meet with you.
Thank you.
To discuss
we can
that.
Make that arrangement. Thank you. Good luck.
Anyone else? Representative Feige. Oh, and let the record show that Representative Johnson has joined us quite some time ago.
You have a question?
I do. But I think she recognized you. Go
ahead. Yeah, okay. You're first.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Commissioner Lucan, you, in spite of graduating from the Air Force Academy, you seem to have done okay for yourself.
A West Pointer.
Yes, sir.
We've met before.
Oh.
And I see that you, the most notable career highlight, it seems, was providing close air support to 7th Corps during Desert Storm. Thanks. We've had discussions about this, but I wonder if you could illuminate for the committee your thoughts on the need for there's probably some money to be spent in the future on a mapping program for the state of Alaska and how that would affect specifically the Department of Transportation.
Through the chair, Representative Feige, I'd be happy to do that, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. Many of you hopefully know that the current map that we use for the state of Alaska is 50 years old. Mm-hmm. And as a result, there are some significant errors in both laterally and or horizontally and vertically in that map. And our department is the lead agency in remapping this state, and we've had some significant success last summer in beginning this work. The imagery piece of this map is fairly complete because it's fairly available commercially, and the folks up in the University of Fairbanks, Gina, are the keepers of that data. The difficult part is the vertical portion, what we call the digital elevation map, and that's fairly expensive to obtain. There's a few ways of doing that, and we have been able to identify the fidelity that we want that map to be taken at. As I said, last summer we were able to spend about $12 million, some state match, some federal match, to map a portion of the state, and I won't tell the number because I don't want to be inaccurate, but we have mapped a portion. There's still a great deal of mapping to be completed in this state, and the importance of having an accurate digital elevation model laid over this imagery model is for our department specifically in the area of aviation safety, and I think that's really the issue that kicked this off was the need for an accurate map so that we would be able to have accurate data while flying in the weather or over in marginal weather over some significant terrain that we have here in Alaska. But there are so many other applications for an accurate base map that meets the national mapping standards. It will give us, for instance, a much more accurate ability, our ability to accurately decide where roads need to, how roads need to be aligned, where they need to go if we're developing new roads, the vertical distances that we'll have to cover to construct those. It also has, it is really a cross-agency benefit. It will benefit the Department of Community and Economic Development. It'll benefit the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. It'll benefit our emergency response services and the ability to determine where emergency routes are accurately, where flood and water movement will happen. It'll benefit our universities and the ability to do research. It'll benefit the effort in the Arctic in determining the impacts of the climate change. So, huge opportunity and a huge need. And so, we're working, and we've asked for some money. The key piece is that the federal government will not step up, and we've actually heard this from the congressional delegations, they will not necessarily step up unless they see the state providing something in the form of a match. But we need to continue to move forward with this so that we can complete this mapping effort.
Okay,
sorry for the long answer.
No, that's good. We've got the time.
That's all.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. You mentioned a 30%, I believe you said, due to retire. To me, that sounds like a fait accompli. So are they due to retire or eligible to retire?
That's through the chair, Representative Johnson, that's a great distinction. And the point, you make a very good point. They are eligible to retire in the next 5 years.
Okay.
So I guess we need to be prepared for the worst. And, again, my hope is that I can create this organization that just, you know, helps them make the decision to stay.
Follow up.
And thank you for that clarification. It's a little different scenario than we're losing 30% of our workforce in 5 years. And I encourage you to develop the kind of organization that will. We do have unique challenges here, and a lot of Alaska can offer that other places can't. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to clarify that and encourage you to create that organization that people are excited to come to work for and want to stay and continue to live and work in Alaska. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chairman. What part of South Anchorage?
Representative Johnson, I'm right at the up by Service High School.
Oh.
You have any questions? Yeah. Representative Pruitt.
Thank you, Commissioner. I wanted to ask just briefly. I know the state of Alaska owns essentially the airports, both in Anchorage and in Fairbanks. And in Anchorage, we've obviously just seen the movement of Coolis, the National Guard base there, over to Elmendorf, which kind of leaves a little bit of a void there in the airport and the footprint there. I know to be able to rent that out or to lease it out, it has to go at market rates, which can be fairly significant, especially with the quality of the buildings that are there. Is there any thought in what we might be doing to kind of fill that void that is left there? Secondly, how would the impact, if we are able to bring in additional aircraft that come into the area because of that, how will that impact the recreational aspect of Lake Hood that's right beside there? And I know there's growing concern from the commercial pilots with as we start to see more the growth at the Anchorage Airport, just organic because of everything moving through there, and of course the continued recreational pilots that continue to utilize that area.
Mm-hmm. Through the chair, Representative Pruitt. I will tell you that we are already negotiating with some entities. I don't know that it's probably appropriate to disclose that right now, but we are negotiating with some entities who are interested, who've expressed some interest in Coolis. As far as the impact with the growth of Anchorage on Lake Hood, The one thing that I would say, just as a pilot and someone who's flown in Anchorage's airspace, is I don't think that there's anything like it anywhere else in the world.
I agree with that.
And I think that the really great benefit that we have is that we have created some very, very unique procedures to be able to move visual flight rule traffic through that instrument flight rule airspace very efficiently and very safely, and you know, it's really a testament to the professionalism of the pilots who fly in and out of there. And so, in my mind, because we have these established and they are working fairly well, that I don't see a huge impact in the addition of IFR traffic because of the fact that, you know, they're working around it already fairly well.
Okay, good. And I'm glad to hear that about Coolis, because that's a big void for some of the people around there.
Yeah.
What's Coolis?
It's the Air National Guard base that was stationed there at Anchorage International.
And that they're gone now?
It is, yep. Last week just moved over to Elmendorf.
Okay.
And if you don't mind, I'll,
please,
through the chair or Madam Chairman, the 2005 Base Realignment and Closure Act mandated by law that Alaska National Guard would move from Coolis and relocate to Elmendorf Air Force Base. So they just recently completed all of their military construction projects there, and as you said, last weekend flew out all of the remaining assets over to Elmendorf.
And you've already got someone else in
the works? We've been talking with some folks already.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
The base will actually be completely turned over to the state at the end of this federal fiscal year, October 1st.
Okay. I know, from someone that's never been a pilot, but Representative Sadler flew me around Anchorage. This has been quite a few years ago, and for someone that doesn't know what's going on, I mean, I couldn't believe all the airplanes that were in the air. I mean, it was kind of like, well, I hope you know what you're doing, because they were everywhere. You know, you could see them at different levels. You know, they were just everywhere. Mm. I could not believe it, and this has been probably, I don't know how long, 7 years ago, And I was totally amazed at the traffic that was in the air. Hmm. And so it's, you know, to hear somebody say, it's okay, it's all going to work out, that's good to hear. But Representative Johnson, you had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And while we're on Anchorage International Airport, you're probably not aware of this, but there was quite a little discussion a year ago about the loss of the marketing department. So I'm glad you are aware. The commissioner at the time promised me there would be a marketing department there. I kind of look at marketing a little bit like getting your plane in the air and turning the engine off. Just because you're flying doesn't mean you're going to stay there unless you keep the fuel flowing. Mm-hmm. So I'm very big on that. We need to continue to reach out to grow that airport. It's such a huge economic engine for Anchorage. Estimates 30%. Huge numbers of economic impact to the city.
30%.
It's huge. It's huge.
Wow. It is huge.
And so I'm very keen on making sure that we stay out in front of the flying public. There are options now with the new 777s or whatever they are that can overfly us very easily. So we need to make it very attractive for people to come in to Anchorage and Fairbanks, quite mm-hmm. frankly. And I'm not terribly comfortable with Fairbanks doing Anchorage marketing. So just my two cents worth, and I was promised, and I understand you're not here, or he's not here, and you are, but I won't hold you to it. So I if you'd address that for me a little bit, your philosophy on that.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Johnson, our first meeting was to discuss that very issue. And so, I told you the same thing.
Right.
Actually. And so I really appreciate you bringing it up, because it gives me an opportunity to address what we are doing. Let me just kind of go over real quickly first what we've done, not necessarily to replace the marketing person, but what we've done to continue to foster the marketing effort. We did hold a very successful cargo summit last August where we brought in Mr. George Wellington from the Department of Transportation to discuss the unique cargo transfer rights that Alaska enjoys. We followed that up last month with a about a seven-nation tour by our two airport managers, John Parrott and Jesse Vanderzanden, and they went specifically to 14 different carriers, again, to just reiterate, to help further explain the cargo transfer rights and the possibilities. As a result, there's been some very, very positive feedback from those carriers on their desire to potentially expand their business here in Alaska. We will follow that up with another cargo summit in August. To address the marketing position specifically, as I looked into trying to do that, what I recognized is that we needed a broader look at our entire international airport system, because my desire is to create an organizational structure that truly is business-oriented. And so we are right now working with the Department of Administration to take a holistic look at the international airport system organizational structure, which will then allow us to identify long-term, number one, the right structure, but then also the right positions and the right level of positions. That being said, talking to my aviation deputy, he said that we may still need to pull the trigger on a couple of positions early, and the marketing position is probably one of those. So I can't give you a timeline, but I can tell you we will and are addressing that.
Thank you. Thank you. And just for the record, the importance of that, we deal with many different cultures, and so many of the cultures need a single point of contact, and to have the airport director flying around is one thing, but when someone gets on the phone and says, I need something, or I want this information, the airport director is not the person. They need Fred or Sally or someone that they can call and make that contact to, who can be that filter, because certain you understand the cultural differences, and America's a little different. Mm-hmm. We'll take the answer where we can get it. There are other places that they need that singular point of contact, and I'm not telling you anything we haven't discussed before, but this is on the record.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other? Oh, let the record show that Representative Munoz has joined us. And do you have any questions for the?
Not at the moment. Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Anybody else? I had some that I got by email. So and actually, you answered portions of it with your introduction. So, but I'm just going to go in. It says, DOT manages many modes of transportation, and what are your plans to ensure specific? We know that you're zeroed in on the aviation area, and can you ensure the specific highway, harbor, or ferry management areas, and what your kind of plans are a little bit in those areas?
Madam Chair, I think I understand the question, and I guess my answer would be that I've hired very, very strong deputies to lead those in those various modes. And so I guess my plan would be is to let them do their job.
Okay.
and address those specific issues in those specific modes.
Have you given them any kind of, are we going to just keep going like we have in the past, or are we going to make changes at all, or are we happy with what has been happening?
Madam Chair, I think what I've tried to communicate, the way forward is that not only are we going to provide safe but efficient movement, and so this is really the theme that I've given the folks at the leadership level, is we need to find ways to be more efficient, to bring projects to bid quickly, efficiently, so that we can get the work out and get them done. Certainly, We have challenges with the federal process many times, but you know, that's really kind of the way forward that I've asked OSH folks to do, is to look at the most innovative ways to bring our projects out as efficiently as possible, and then to create a system that's as efficient as possible.
The state has anywhere from $8 to $12 billion dollars in needed infrastructure improvements, and that we rely on the federal government for 90% of our funding. And we also know that there's billions of dollars of projects already underway, and yet we do not have funding to accomplish them. And for instance, Gravina, Juneau Access, Cooper Landing Bypass, Wasilla Bypass, just to name a few. And I myself would throw in the Alaska Class Ferry. But how will the decisions be made on which programs will move forward and which ones will be eliminated?
Well, I think that is really the big question, you know, for our department. And I think, you know, we're going to look at what makes sense, you know, what's realistic from a financial perspective, based on what money is available, what the federal government has said we'll be able to fund, and part of, you know, when we look at those very, very large projects, we also have to provide the kind of the justification in a little more detail for the federal government to step up and say, yes, that makes sense. But you know, I know I'm not giving you a great answer, but that is one of the biggest challenges I think we have as a department, is to determine the prioritization for our mega projects. Some will come from you and from the governor. And that will direct us as well.
I actually had some, and I don't have a clue to the answer to this, but I had someone just call my office just the other day, and they wanted to know, with the Juneau Access Road, and because we have so much of the it's parked in Seattle or wherever, a lot of the material for it. And I know in the past it's been said we have to wait for the litigation to be done. And the question they asked, and I didn't know how to answer them, is can you proceed even though it's in litigation? And if you do, what do you do if they said no, you can't do it? How do you undo something? So anyway, that's just a question that was asked by someone the other day.
Right. I know that we've already used some of that material on other projects, and I think that is, you know, one of the ways that we, you know, mitigate some of that. We still do have to wait until we have the final decision from the court. But in the meantime, I think you understand we also have a separate project that will lengthen the current road another almost 3 miles. So again, some of that material can be used for that. But once we have that court decision, then that's when we'll know which direction we're going with the remainder.
Okay,
Kathy,
you want to add something?
Is that material still stored here in Juneau? And if so, could you also tell me how what's the dollar amount, the value of the material?
Through the chair, Representative Munoz, what I understand is the culvert material is stored here in Juneau. The steel is being stored in Seattle. You know, the steel primarily, I believe, for the bridging that we were planning to do. I don't know the exact value of that. But I know I have access to that,
okay,
and we'll get that to you.
Thank you.
And my question is, if we're storing it, I would especially in Seattle, I'm thinking, okay, how much is it costing us to store it? Maybe we should be using it on other projects. I don't know if we even can. I don't know what the rules and regulations are, but I'm concerned about what's costing the store. And do you have any comments on that?
I know, again, I have that number available. I don't think I've got it with me. Let me, if you don't mind, I'll just take a look here. I may. The total cost for the culvert to both deliver and stack it was $625,000. There are 1,176 lengths of that. We have 200 lengths of that material that will be used on that that extension that I mentioned. Of the material in Seattle, I believe we spent we've so far spent $8.8 million on that material. I'm just trying to see. Right now, we're paying $42,000 per year to store the steel. So we spent roughly I don't have that total cost, but it looks like roughly $200,000 so far in storage fees.
And this is my own question, and I'm sure you've heard this before, because we had really a good communication with DOT through both the legislative liaison and the commissioner, and I'm wondering how you're going to continue that.
Well, again, I think I've tried to already demonstrate that that's our plan, and that we are very open to doing that. I also understand that, you know, that was a long-term relationship for many of the legislature, and as a new team, that's our challenge, is to rebuild that with each of you, and we dedicate to do that.
Okay, good. That's good to hear. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Several of us on the committee took a trip down the Dalton Highway last summer, and we were informed of a number of projects and improvements that they were hoping to make on that road, and it's sort of a five-year plan, as I recall. And I was wondering, are you planning to continue that those improvements? Do you have any changes in mind to what you've already seen, or is that still a work in progress?
The Chair, Representative Peterson, I would say yes, and primarily because I look at that as a very strategic, literally strategic for our nation road, and so we do need to continue to maintain that. I can't tell you specifically what projects are on the books, but I'll be happy to get that information and talk with you more detail in the future.
That's fine. Yeah, I know that it's important, especially if we're going to be able to get the materials to build the natural gas pipeline someday.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest if I don't know, are you planning to do that again this coming year?
Yes, ma'am. But currently, the plan is to take that trip, and I believe we've announced the 21st of June. 21st is that date?
If anyone on the committee has not taken that trip, I highly recommend that you just try to make plans to do it, because it's worth going to, so that you really know what they're up against and what kind of terrain there is and the reasons why we really do need to maintain it, because there have been several accidents on that road. Mm-hmm. And when you see some of them, the areas where they happened, it's like, whoa, you know. So, and in some of the areas where you're up in the air, and it's straight down on both sides, not just one side, but both sides. So it's, you know, there's room for improvement, definitely. Hmm. So I want to ask two more questions, and these are just my own questions. What are your plans for the Arctic? Because I know that Canada wants to be the gateway to the Arctic, to that area up there. And I think it would be great if I can see that they could be the gateway to one portion, but I there are other countries that would like to be the gateway. I would surely think that Alaska should be the gateway to that passage that way, because we've had ships go through there in the past, and that could see a huge boom for some port. I don't know which one, but is the DOT going to look into that and try to think ahead and plan ahead, because that is not too far into our future?
Yeah. First, let me say that we are working with the Corps of Engineers and the Coast Guard to do a Arctic ports study. And that is actually part of our one of our budget amendments for this budget. Representative Pruitt and I discussed this a little bit yesterday, Alaska needs to lead our nation because as an Arctic nation, I don't believe that we're necessarily working as proactively as we could. So. I will work with my fellow commissioners and with the governor to make sure, and the lieutenant governor to make sure that we are getting out in front of an Arctic policy.
Good.
For our nation, really.
That's really important, because we're the only state in the United States that has an Arctic coastline, even. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's extremely important. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to hear you're on it. Representative Pruitt.
And to that point, I just wanted to say that we did talk about it yesterday, and I was very encouraged by what the commissioner had to say, because that's been one of my big points, because of the importance that it is. And I feel that he has a very good grasp on the importance to Alaska as well as the United States, and I just wanted to make sure that the committee knew that he has a good handle on what we need to do. So. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And the last one, with Roads to Resources, because we know that oil production is going down, and that's our mainstay. I mean, as that continues to go down, we're going to be in trouble as a state. I don't care how much we've gotten, what savings accounts or whatever, and so the only other thing that we can do is diversify, and that means, what else do we have? We only have our resources unless we can get bunches of people moving in and start manufacturing stuff, and that's not as likely as us trying to open up more of our resource extraction, and both renewable energy and just plain mining, I'm thinking of. Mm. And what are you, I mean, I know you mentioned, and I say this town wrong, Uniac. Are there any other ones also that you're looking at all, or is that the only one? Or
Actually, Uniac is one of three up in the northern region. The Ambler Mining District is also very, very positive potential resource, and we are working again, with the Department of Natural Resources to identify specifically where those are, and then to also try to find the right alignment for a road to go extract those. There is a company who's expressed very strong interest in doing that extraction. I mentioned the Western Access Road. That is, some people call it the Road to Nome. There are actually mineral deposits along that road as well, so that would be a potential resource road as well. The other one I mentioned is the rare earth elements, which is down on the Prince of Wales Island on Bokan Mountain. And again, some very positive opportunities there. One of the things that that I'm working personally is to see if we have a federal partner who will stand up and say, yes, we really think it would be a smart idea to extract these minerals from the U.S. and actually process them here. And so I'm working that angle as well.
And I Prince of Wales, that mine and that area, how far is it from a road? Do you know?
I don't know, but I also know it's fairly close to tidewater, so it may not necessarily require much of a road.
So we might need a harbor or something?
Okay. Possibly.
Okay. Any other questions?
One more.
Representative?
On your behalf, how do you feel about the chairman's endowment fund?
just trying to help, Madam Chair.
You don't have to answer that if you
let's get my notes on this one. Well, actually, I do understand that the legislature are looking at different options, different methods to offset this potential reduction in federal funding, and so and also to provide us maybe a stable source of funding through the state revenues. And I guess my opinion is that I'm very interested in the discussion and to see what the outcomes are.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Madam Chair, I move that Mark Lukin's name be forwarded to a joint session for consideration.
And hearing no objections, so moved. Okay. Thank you very much. I know we put you through the ringer, but
well, thank you.
It was just because we really want to know what your plans are.
Sure.
So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure that.
I tell you what, we had something else planned for Thursday. Actually, on Thursday, we had planned on hearing House Joint Resolution 4 and House Bill 30, which are my transportation bills. And we've gotten enough input from the committee and from testifiers that we are going to make some changes to the bill, and they won't be done by Thursday. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring up House Bill 10, non-commercial trailer registrations, which we have previously heard, and House Bill 64, permanent motor vehicle registrations, which is new to the committee. So we'll see you all on Thursday, and we adjourn 3:03.
Excellent. Thank you, ma'am.